This is Growing in Grace. And now, here's Richard O'Phil.
We live in an impure and immoral society. In this program, I will give you several suggestions as to how we may resist impure thinking, because impure acts come from impure thoughts. In resisting temptation of any kind, we need to be continually aware that the struggle is basically not physical but spiritual. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, we read, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places." Satan and his minions have a vested interest in contaminating our minds, because it's in our minds that temptation to sin is formulated. Therefore, he's going to do everything possible to trip us up and to cause us to give in. I was in the airport, walking down one of the corridors on the way to the gate, when I passed a newsstand. A man was standing with his back to me, looking through a magazine with pictures in glossy color. I glanced in his direction, and I saw that one of the pictures he was looking at was definitely pornographic. As soon as I saw what it was, I turned my head away. It wasn't my fault I had seen it. I wasn't the one looking at the magazine. But I thought to myself, isn't it incredible how the devil is continually hounding us in this respect? When we've made up our minds that we won't contaminate ourselves, that we won't defile our imaginations, and have followed up by making a covenant with our eyes, then the devil will try every trick in the book to keep it from happening. Now you may be asking, so what's the difference? If you see it once, simply never think of it again. I wish it was that easy. The devil has a better memory than we do. He may wait until we're sitting in church, and he will flash that picture up again. You see, Satan is the original dirty old man. He must have at least one of his imps assigned to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And he does everything he can to contaminate us and to tempt us, because impurity and true spirituality are incompatible. Another step in overcoming impure thoughts is that we must remove from our environment the things that can contribute to our defeat and failure. In Romans 13, we read, "And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." If you've been troubled with impure thoughts, check around, and you'll probably discover your immediate environment is full of suggestive elements. It might be the music you listen to. It might be the magazines you read. It might be the television programs you watch. One of the elements that plays a large part in our thoughts is the music we listen to. If we're going to be serious about overcoming temptation, it will be necessary to factor in the kind of music we expose ourselves to. Now, it's not my purpose to tell you what to listen to, but inasmuch as I'm discussing with you how to overcome impure thoughts, we need to remind ourselves that there is music that is explicit and there's music that's implicit in this respect. Now, most Christians don't have the habit of listening to music that's overt in suggesting impurity, but they're often not aware that even music without words creates a certain mood. If this weren't true, then the dentist could be playing the theme from Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho in his waiting room. Another factor we often overlook is that though we may be listening to an instrumental rendition, we may be familiar with the lyrics, and as the music is playing, our minds are unconsciously repeating the words. Much of the easy listening music is about disappointed love, lust, and passion. Suffice to say, if we are serious about getting victory over temptation in the area of impure thoughts, we must factor in the kind of music we listen to. In a serious program to overcome temptation of any kind, it's necessary to realize that when we have won one battle, there will be others to fight. Christians can expect to be tempted. As Christians, we will be tempted from the outside and from the inside. When we give our hearts to Jesus, that's not the end of our troubles. But it does mean that though the fight is far from over, we can now begin to win. While I was on a business trip to Miami, I was staying in a large motel. I had prepared for bed and spent a little time reading the Bible. After that, I said my prayer and I got into bed and I turned off the light. The light was barely out when the phone rang. I reached over and picked it up. I said hello, and a feminine voice instantly started suggestive talking. It didn't take a paragraph or a page to know what was going on. I hung up as soon as I realized what was happening. Instead of rolling over and going to sleep, I turned on the light, I got up and I took the Bible and had my worship all over again. If someone splatters mud in our face, we wash it off, don't we? Whoever it was that had called had thrown mud in my mind. It says in Jeremiah 12, verse 5, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have worried thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses?" The point is, we may expect the fight against temptation will be a lifelong battle. It will go on and on. But the difference is now that we are becoming winners through Jesus Christ our Lord. Another practical and effective way of overcoming temptation is unfortunately not very popular in the contemporary culture. Proverbs 16:16 states that it's by the fear of the Lord that men depart from evil. Now, there are some who are not comfortable with the idea of fearing God. Yet, the text is true in the battle with temptation. Not only can the fear of the Lord assist us in overcoming temptation, but believe it or not, so can the fear of each other. When we lived in South America, I worked with the Adventist Relief and Development Agency. One summer, the Agency for International Development invited me and representatives of other voluntary agencies to attend a food warehousing seminar which was held in a city in Central America. We arrived at the seminar and all registered in the same hotel. We'd been there only a short time when I was surprised to see several of the men who were part of our delegation. They were in the company of prostitutes. It became apparent to me that when these men were out of their own environment, they did things that they wouldn't have dared to have done at home. This is why when I travel, I like to stay with God's people. When I'm with God's people, I know the angels are there and that I'm in the right place, and I appreciate being accountable. It makes it easier to resist temptation, because by the fear of the Lord and our accountability to each other, we can be protected from temptation. Another step to help us overcome temptation is found, and it's based on Romans 6. I'm going to begin to read verse 1. It begins with a question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Then, using popular language, it says, "No way. How can we," it asks rhetorically, "who are dead to sin, live any longer therein?" And then it begins to unfold the secret. For as many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. And like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we ought also to walk in newness of life. In two words, then, the secret to overcoming temptation is to play dead. When you and I have a temptation to have impure thoughts or to participate in any other sin that may come along, the way we handle it is simply to say this little prayer, using the temptation to impure thoughts as an example. How can I, who am dead to impurity, live any longer therein? That's the end of it. Because dead people don't have impure thoughts. Now, I've shared with you some steps to overcome impure thoughts, or any temptation for that matter, but I've saved the best for last. This strategy has two parts. Before I tell you what they are, I must first ask you a question. Do you have anyone in your life who has fallen away from the Lord or who needs to find Jesus? Now, whenever I ask that question, there's never anyone who said they didn't. The first thing we have to do, then, is to identify that person in our minds. The second part of the strategy requires that we make a decision. We must decide that the next time we're tempted, the temptation itself will serve as a reminder to us to pray for this person. Let's call her Aunt Mary. You can imagine that if you were the devil, and you'd assigned one of your imps to harass someone, but if now that harassment caused the person to begin to pray for someone who needs the Lord, it would make you think twice about whether it was worth it. The last thing the devil wants for us to do is to intercede for the lost. You can see at once why this method is so effective. It stops the temptation in its tracks, and it puts us on the offensive rather than on the defensive. While the prayer declaring that we are dead to temptation is like putting up a shield, this second method is not only putting up a shield, it's actually fighting back, and at the level that makes the temptation loose, while the kingdom of heaven is advanced through our intercessory prayer. Friend, deciding in advance what to do when the temptation comes along is essential. If we have made up our minds to resist temptation, then when it comes, we don't have to think whether we want to resist or not. That has already been settled. This then gives us full energy to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in becoming the overcomers that Jesus wants us to be, and that we ourselves have decided that we want to be. Oh, how wonderful that though the devil is powerful, he who dwells in us is more powerful than he who is in the world. But we have decisions to make. We must decide that we want to be victorious. And then Jesus, with all of his marvelous and miraculous power, is able to give us the victory that we need. Let us pray. Holy Father, it's thrilling when we get the big picture. We can see now that you said that there would be no temptation that would take us, but that you would give us the victory and that you would get us around it and you would get us past it. But, oh God, convince us through the Holy Spirit that you can give us the victory. May we make the decision that this is what we want, and every opportunity that comes along, may we reach out and claim it in Jesus' name.
If you would like more information about Growing in Grace, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 800-752-3226.